Blog Talk Radio.
Figures, the people praise him, they stock us up at a high percentage. The giants in our eyes, the sky's the limit. The picture painted is larger than life, but God is bigger. Your God is greater. I weigh them on the scale like cracks and gators. Found that only God can save us. And God is gracious, that's who we flock to. In the day of trouble, and when we blow it like hot food. The song's official, nobody's greater but Shawn Mitchell. You got it right with that song, it echoes the heart of scripture. Yeah, they wonder why we so serious. It's cause Jesus Christ is also man, period.
Okay, my Jesus, the Son Christ, the King of Kings, and he's God on earth. My Messiah, born and raised to give us all a second birth. And from heaven he came down to free all that were bound. Oh God, the 4 and 20 fell down, casting down their crowns. Saying, thou art worthy, Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. So every man, woman, boy, and girl, let's make this declaration around the world.
He's mighty. He's mighty. He's mighty. He's mighty. He's mighty.
Awesome.
Come on and lift your voice and testify.
Awesome.
Come on and
heals me when I'm broken, strength where I've been weakened. Praise His holy name.
God bless you. Good evening. This is your sister Pearl. I am so happy to be with you once again. And blessings, and you know, just thank God because He is awesome. There's no one like Jesus. And first and foremost, we give Him, I give Him all the praise. What a wonderful, majestic, great, mighty, strong, powerful, all-knowing, all-wise, all-loving God that we serve. And we bless and honor and magnify His holy name today. I want to also just say a very special thank you to our evangelist, Montel Fields. Thank you so much for giving me this privilege every Sunday evening to come before your listening audience and share the wonderful word of God. I welcome all of you that are listening. Thank you, Minister Darlene. It's so wonderful to have you on the line with us. I'm going to go straight into the message that God has given me in my heart to share with everyone. Last Sunday, we looked at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, basically. And we're talking, our subject tonight, as a continuation from the last Sunday night, is God's instructions in this season. One of the wonderful facets, one of the wonderful characteristics of God is that God does not leave His people out in the cold. Never. He always provides for them. He is Jehovah Jireh, our mighty provider. And in saying that, He's also provided us to understand and discern the times and the seasons that we're living in, and to know what to do in those seasons. So tonight we're going to do part two of, you know, what are God's instructions to us? A little recap of last Sunday night. First of all, you and I, if you're listening to this broadcast, whether you're listening in the United States of America or you're even listening around the globe by internet, it is just reality that our world has changed. Things have shifted in society. A lot is going on that even though there's always been wars, there's always been conflicts, there's always been debates, there's always been different thoughts and trains of thinking, something happened in the United States just recently at the end of June, the last Friday of June of 2015, and that was that the Supreme Court decided that they were going to allow for same-sex marriage. I want to let you know something. This is not an issue solely about marriage equality. This is an issue about defying a holy God and a nation rebelling in complete rebellion against God. Because when that is allowed, that opens up a horrific Pandora's box, and everything else begins to shift. Everything else begins to spiral downward. And so you and I have to realize that that was like a signpost to us. That was a signal that a great shift has taken place in our nation. And because we're so instrumental to so much of what is happening around the world, for good or for bad, this is going to affect the entire world. And we have to understand that this is the time that we're living in. And if you're a blood-washed believer, you are going to, and you want to stand for Jesus Christ, you want to stand for the Bible, you want to stand for whatever God says in His holy word and respect that and honor that and seek hard after that, you're going to be persecuted, just like I'm going to be persecuted. And everyone who lays claim to the word of God will suffer persecution. That's just reality. And so what do we do in a time like this? And so we read from 1 Peter 4. I'm going to read those verses quickly, but I'm going to really emphasize on the other verses, 12 through 19. But let me read first, for those of you that did not catch last Sunday night's program, I'm just going to read from the word of God, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. It reads like this. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desires of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatry. In all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excesses of dissipation. And they malign you, but they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For the gospel has for this purpose been preached even to those who are dead, that though they are judged in the flesh as men, they may live in the spirit according to the will of God. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint, as each one has received a special gift. Employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as the one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So a quick recap on what we went over last Sunday night. We talked that God, through the person of his son Jesus Christ, suffered in the flesh. He suffered, number one, ultimately, when he gave his life in exchange for ours on Calvary's cross. Because we understand that even if we did sacrifice our own life, that would have never been acceptable to the Heavenly Father God. Why? Because my blood and your blood is unworthy. Our blood, because we are sinful, cannot pay for our own sin. I remember in one of my mission trips to the Philippines, I was in a particular area down in the very southern island, and in some of these places around resurrection time, you would actually have some men try to go on a cross, a wooden cross, and impale themselves for like about, you know, a minute or however long that they can stand it. Now, you realize that that is a slap and an insult to a holy God, because the only one who can pay for the payment of our sin is Jesus Christ. He is blameless. He has never sinned. He has never disobeyed his Heavenly Father God. You and I have done that lots of times. Actually, we're even born in sin and we're shaped in iniquity. Jesus is different from us. He was not born of a human man. He was born of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit hovered over Mary when she was still a virgin. And that's how he was conceived. Very different from you and very different from me. So Jesus Christ was able to suffer and give his life as a sacrifice for our sins. But not only did he suffer to give his life as a sacrifice for our sins, he also suffered in the flesh. Lots of times we have account in the Bible, several accounts where people were tormenting him, people running after him, people seeking to take his life. He would have to sometimes leave one town to go to another town because the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and a lot of religious enemies, and even some others, they were looking to do away with him before the appointed time. And so he knew what it was to suffer even in the flesh before he actually gave his life and died. Thank God he's no longer dead. Thank God he's resurrected and he's at the Father's right hand interceding for you and for me. But we went over last Sunday night that as he suffered in the flesh, and you and I will suffer also in our flesh. We will suffer persecution. We will suffer because people will not like the fact that we've left our sinful lifestyle and now we're following Jesus Christ. And so we found in those verses from 1 through 11 that, you know, the Bible says, especially in verse 3, that we are, verse 2, the latter part of verse 2 and going to 3, we are no longer to live according to the lust of men. But now you and I, that we've come to Jesus Christ, salvation in him, we're to live for the will of God. You know, the time already is past. We've already had sufficient opportunities to sin before we came to know Jesus. I'm sure you would say a hearty amen if I could hear you to that. But, you know, now that we've pursued all of that, you know, the sensuality, the lust, the drunkenness, the carousing, the drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. Even if we've never taken a drink of alcohol in our life, you know, we've done things that have grieved and have offended a holy God. And so the word from the Apostle Peter is saying, okay, we've spent enough time doing our own thing. Now that you're in Jesus Christ, spend the remainder of your time to please God and according to the will of God. And don't be surprised, don't be shocked when the people that you used to run with and you still may have relationships with, that, you know, they're maligning your name. They don't like you any longer. They'll tell you to your face, you know, I used to like you, but I liked you the way you were before. I don't like you the way you are now because you're not doing what you used to do when you were not in Christ. And thank God they can say that of you. What does dissipation mean? Dissipation means wasteful expenditure, wasteful indulgence, consumption, overbuying, indulgence even in sensual pleasure, being intemperate. That's called dissipation. And so we're not doing those things like we used to do them. So now they're going to malign your name. But don't worry about that. When they malign your name, when they say bad things about you, because they're going to have to give account to God at the end of the day, who is ready to judge the living and the dead. And for this reason, the gospel was preached even to those who were dead, that though they were judged in the flesh as men, they might live in the spirit according to the will of God. And so we were told by Peter in verse 7 that the end of all things is near. And so that's the main reason that we've got to be very clear on what are God's instructions to us. But it's very confusing. I mean, let's just face it. A lot of believers, a lot of people who call themselves Christians, are very confused right now. Things are topsy-turvy. So many things are not the way that we knew it. Our nation was more, you know, respectful of God and the things of God and the ways of God and God's designs and God's precepts and God's ordinances. And right now, it's a total opposite. Instead of going towards God, this nation that I'm broadcasting from, America, is going away from God. And so many other nations are doing the same. And so what does a believer do in a time like this? Well, we're to still be serving God, loving God, believing what God says, and that's what it means to be a believer. That we believe what God says. We're not believing MSN TV and CNN and ABC, MSN and NBC and CNN. We're not following them. We're not even following just what our administration, our government would put before us, because we know right now they're not following the ways of God. So they're going against what God is saying, and you and I, as believing saints of God, we're going towards everything that God has to say. So verse 7 says that we're to be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. I'm going to tell you, my brothers and sisters, if you and I are not praying in this season, we're already defeated. We're already lost. We're already out of the game. So I want to encourage you, even if you were not praying before, even if you didn't pray today, I want to encourage you, pray, begin to pray, begin to call out to God, begin to intercede, begin to commit your life, commit your ways, commit your family to Jesus. That's the the only way that you and I are going to make it in this season. That's why Peter said that we need to be sober. We need to understand what's going on and be of sober mind, sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. And continue to love one another. Now, some of us, we want to serve God. We want to live righteous. We want to live pleasing to God. But every now and again, we slip up. We fail. We sin. Now, in a case like that, we could cover our brother and sister that has sinned. Because you know that they're trying with all their heart to follow God. And in a weak moment, instead of really focusing on Christ, they got sidetracked. They got turned around. And they sinned. And now they're broken. They're heartbroken over it. So what we have to do to show the love of God towards them is to love them, is to embrace them, is to pray with them, is to encourage them. Because love covers a multitude of sins. And again, I'm not talking about that person that claims to be a believer. But they're going to go out and they say, okay, now it's 8:21, so I'm going to go out and I'm going to sin because I know the grace of God, he's going to forgive me. Now that person is tempting God. That's not the individual I'm talking about that you need to cover their sin. That's the person that's willfully going out, mocking God, tempting God, planning to sin, going ahead and working their plan, and then going to come back wanting God's forgiveness. But I'm talking not about this latter individual. I'm talking about that former person that really has a hunger and a thirst for God, wants to serve God, doing their best to serve God, falling in sin. We need to cover that individual. The same way that you and I fall from God and miss the mark. And we don't want, you know, the person that knows what we've done wrong to go and broadcast it. The same way, we will not broadcast that brother's sin, that sister's sin. But instead, we'll pray with them, pray for them. Amen. And then the word of God exhorted us in verse 9 that we should be hospitable to one another without complaining. You know, whatever God gives us, it belongs to the body of Christ. Yes, if that's your home that you paid for, or you're paying for, of course, after God, that's your home. Everything that you have belongs to God anyway, but it is your home. However, you and I should be hospitable and gracious and willing to share, whether it's just time, it's a meal, it's a few meals, it's a night stay, or however God will lead you to help someone else. We need to be hospitable to one another without complaint. And whatever gift that God's given you, whatever type, whether it's a gift of administration, it's a gift of hospitality, and I don't mean that if you don't have that gift of hospitality, you should not open up your home and open up your life. But I'm saying some people have a specific gift of hospitality. They're doing that almost 24/7. If God's blessed you to speak the word of God, then do so. Do so and serve in a humble way. And glorify God with that gift that he's given you. If he's given you a gift to serve and to feed the hungry and to minister to the poor and those that are without, well, then do so with the strength that God supplies you. And do it for the glory of God. And then he says, in all things, glorify God through Jesus Christ. Amen. But now, I'm going to go into the crux of this evening's message about sharing the sufferings of Christ. Because the whole chapter started out with, therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose. Amen. And I just want to encourage you that the Spirit of God inside of you that dwells in you is also the same Spirit that allows you to go through sufferings and to still experience His joy. What does Sister Pearl mean by that? We know that when we're in Christ, there is joy. There is peace. We can, if we're sick, we can claim our healing in the name of Jesus and through the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. He's called the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And so we can receive healing through Christ. We have joy in Christ. We have victory in Christ. We are overcomers through Jesus Christ. We're the head and not the tail because of Jesus Christ. If we need something, we know that God will supply whatever need that we have, because this is who God is. And we inherit the things that God has for his children because we are his. But I want you to know something that is not often talked about, not often taught, and not often preached about. We're also called to suffering. We're called to suffering. And how do I know that? Because in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 to 23, Peter says that Christ's sufferings is as an example for the believers, providing the pattern that we should imitate. And for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. And then again, Peter says in chapter 3 of 1 Peter, for it is better if God should will it so that you suffer for doing what is right rather than for doing what is wrong. So clearly, just in these limited portions of scripture that I just read, it is clear that you and I are also called to suffering. And that's why he could say in verse 12 of 1 Peter 4, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing. Don't think that it's some strange thing were happening to you. It's a part of your calling. It's a part of your following Jesus. It's a part of your identifying with Christ. It's a part of my following Jesus, my identifying with Christ. When we take Christ, we got to take everything that comes with Christ. Amen. And part of that, beloved, is suffering. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 and 25 says, by faith Moses, when he was grown up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. In this hour that we're living in, sure, sometimes maybe if we, you know, don't identify with Christ, we're not going to be persecuted. If we disown the fact that we're a believer, that we really love Jesus, that we're his child, we will not be persecuted. But once we say that we belong to Jesus, and I want to tell you, and I'm sure many of you have already experienced this, and if I were able to give you the mic, you would say, wow, I have the same experience. Because sometimes you don't even have to say anything. All you do is have to be on your job without wearing a Jesus button, without preaching from your mouth verbally. All you have to do is to be different, live for Jesus, and already people are not going to like you. Already you might hear somebody say behind your back, I just can't stand him. I don't know what it is, but I really don't like her. Mind you, it's not that you and them ever got into any kind of confrontation or there was not any misunderstanding between you and that individual on your job or in your community or in the marketplace or in the corporate world. It's not even that. Just that you're not doing what they're doing when they're involved in simple things that are against God. Well, when you're not doing that, they already have words to say about you, and they're not the most complimentary words. You will be persecuted just for living for Jesus, just for living in a way that pleases God. You and I will be persecuted. So don't think it's strange. Don't think it weird. And the testing, that the word of God is talking about in this verse 12 or 1 Peter 4. It's not so much that God is trying to understand what you're going to do. He already knows what you're going to do. He knows you before you even do what you're going to do. That's why Jesus told the apostle Peter earlier in his life and his walk with God, when Jesus was still on the earth in the natural and in the flesh, fully God and fully man at that time, you know, he said, you know what? I'm going to protect you, Jesus. Don't worry about it. I'll even go to jail if necessary. You know, I'll cover you. Don't worry about it. But at the same time, Jesus said, look, Peter, I already know exactly what you're going to do. Before the cock crows three times, you're going to be denying me. And exactly what Jesus said is exactly what Peter did. Why? Because God knows us. So God knows that if I'm tested, I'm going to wind up, you know, doing this response or responding this way, making this response. So the testing is for my testing. The testing is for your testing so that we can see really what still God has to work on in our lives or what still is there and we need to give up. We need to cut it loose. We need to let it go. So the testing comes for our testing. Don't think it's strange. It happens. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, just keep on rejoicing. The fact that they don't like you and your job, because you're a believer and because you're doing those things that are pleasing to God, instead of being upset about it, begin to rejoice over it. Because that's another witness that you are marked for God. Amen. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, don't worry about it. Don't sweat it. What does revile mean? It means to use scornful or abusive language. Listen, I've been told the four-letter F word lots of times. I remember one time many years ago, when I was much younger and I was in college, one of my philosophy professors told me very clearly, without mincing his words, that I was blank. With somebody so blank bright, how could I be so blank stupid? And he called my stupidity. Why was he calling me stupidity? I mean, stupid. He was calling me stupid because I was a follower of God. That particular professor was also interested in having me, you know, intimately, knowing me. When the Bible says about Adam knew his wife, well, that professor, he was interested in knowing me because he let me know. And of course, I was not interested in him because number one, he's not my husband. Number two, I'm not about, you know, wanting to displease God. And so because I was not willing to do what he wanted me to do, which I'm sure a lot of the other female students did participate and do what he wanted them to do. I did not. And so, you know, I was what he called cursing me out and then stupid. And then he called me stupid for many other reasons. And he wasn't the only person that called me stupid. Lots of people call me stupid, ignorant, deceived, you name it, you know, all kinds of not so nice words. But you know what? The word of God told me already through the Apostle Peter that I should not get upset when these things happen. When they try to malign my name, malign means to say something evil about my name, my reputation, something harmful that will hurt me, something malevolent, something wicked. And I'm not supposed to get all bent out of shape. Why? Because I've already learned through the word of God and his teaching is that this is going to happen to anybody who belongs to Jesus. So I can just take it easy and understand this is a part of what it means to follow Jesus Christ. And actually, the apostle says that I am blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on my life. And so I want to say to you, listening audience, if you belong to Jesus Christ and they revile you, they say abusive things about you and to you and to other people, you're blessed. Can I say that again? You are blessed. You are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests in you. I'm speaking right now to that wife that you have an unsaved husband. I'm speaking to that husband that has an unsaved wife. And they're telling you they don't love you anymore. They liked you better before you came to Jesus. They liked you better when you were running and doing those things that are contrary to the will of God. Well, you know what? Hopefully they'll get over it. They've got to do those things. They've got to continue in the drinking and the carousing. You know what? They don't have the Spirit of God. And when you look at a lot of the alcohol bottles, it might say 80% spirit, 60% spirit, 90% spirit. And if it doesn't say spirit, it'll say 90% proof or 75% proof or whatever it is. It's because people usually drink 99.9% of the time because they're dead spiritually and they have no life. And for them to feel a little bit of joy, a little bit of satisfaction, they're relegated. They think that they have to turn to a bottle. You don't have to do that because you have the Spirit of God living inside of you. And so now, when your wife wants to drink, or she wants to go carousing, or she wants to go clubbing, and you don't desire to do that anymore, and you don't want to do that anymore, you have no interest in that anymore because you're serving the Lord, she's not going to like you. And if it's a wife that's the saved one, sanctified, set apart, and you were doing that before you met the Lord with your husband, and now you stop that, he's not going to be so excited. But guess what? It's okay. I'm just going to encourage you to pray them in. You know, pray for them. You don't have to always, you know, let them know that you're praying for them. You can let them know if the Spirit of God tells you to do so. But sometimes you can just do it when they're not there. Lay hands on their pillow. Anoint their pillow. Anoint everything that they're using. And pray for them. Ask God to break the stronghold of the enemy in their life. Because when you came to know Jesus, he loves you, he desires you, but it was not just about you. It was about bringing your whole family to salvation. You're that solitaire, that solitary that God has put in your family to be used of God. And unfortunately, for a season, for some of you it might be a short season, for some of you it might be a very, very long season. It might be decades. But believe God for your loved ones, whether it's your spouse, whether it's your children, whether it's your parent or parents, it's your uncle, your cousins, your coworker, your best friend. Believe God for their salvation. Are they going to criticize you sometimes because of you following Jesus? Yes, yeah, definitely. But just know that's a part of your identification. It's a part of you belonging to Jesus. It's okay. When you suffer persecution, and when you're suffering, just make sure that none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, as an evildoer, or as a troublesome meddler. That's verse 15 of 1 Peter chapter 4. Make sure that if you suffer, that you're innocent for what they're accusing you of. Amen. And then verse 16. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he's not to be ashamed, but it's to glorify God in this name, the name of Jesus. And verse 17, for it is time for judgment to begin in the household of God. Let me just stop right there. You can expect, like you're hearing this broadcast tonight, or whenever you listen, judgment will begin with the household of God. Whatever God says, he will surely bring it to pass. So don't think it's strange when you hear people, big name people on the TV, that claim to be Christians, that claim to be leading other people, maybe they're leading thousands of people, that judgment is going to begin with the household of God. God's going to judge my sin first. He's going to judge the household of God first, the church first. And if it begins with us first, the Bible says, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? What's going to happen to them? I don't know if you heard about it, but in America now, in Detroit, Michigan, not that long ago, the Satanist group, they erected a 9-foot statue, a demonic goat, supposed to be to the likeness of Satan, with two children, a little boy and a little girl, also made statues, adoringly looking at this demonic statue. And that was placed in Detroit, Michigan, one of the cities in our nation that has been so devastated economically. And yet, they allowed that demonic, evil statue to be placed there. Can you imagine? And yet, they said that they're not even satisfied for it to stay there. Eventually, they want to move it to someplace in Arkansas. And they want to place it next to the Ten Commandments. Well, I can tell you right now, even though God allowed them to do that, trust me, God will judge it. And for the fact that they put the children, they put two children as statues next to it, it's a clear indication that what they're trying to do is to seduce and corrupt the children. This is a serious thing in the eyes of God, and He will judge it, make no mistake. Make no mistake, He will judge it. And He will judge this country for allowing them to put it up there. But I want you to know that this is the spirit that is now let loose in the world. Now, at the unveiling of the statue, you had two men on either side of that statue. They were naked from the waist up. Okay, they were clothed from the waist down, but they were naked from the waist up. And then each of them began to pull the sheet that was over the statue. And when the statue was fully revealed, the statue of Satan with the two little children at either side, the two men came together and began to kiss on the lips. Let you know right away, if you didn't know it, they let you know it. This is the spirit behind what has just been made law in the United States. It is not even about marriage equality. It is about rebellion against a holy God in our nation. A rebellious spirit has been let loose in the land. And that's why God gave me this message, God's instructions in this season. Because you and I that follow Jesus Christ, we're going to be persecuted in this season. Heavily persecuted. It's going to increase. I would admonish you. I would encourage you to start memorizing the Word of God so that you can be prepared when they confiscate our Bibles. Get ready. And for some of you in other nations, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And some of you in closed nations, you know what I mean. You've already experienced it. Now, what I did last Sunday night, I want to do it again tonight before we close. I want to put it like in 3 points that we can think about. Since all of these crazy things and things that are contrary to the ways of God are happening, what should the response of the believing child of God be? Well, we heard it so clearly in this entire chapter that I've read from 1 Peter chapter 4. But I want you to be intentional in your walk with God. As you hear of different things, diabolic things, diabolical things, contrary things. I want you to be intentional to understand and be aware of who your God is. Remember, the world is going after a false god with a small g. You and I belong to the real God, the God of heaven and earth, with the big capital G. There's only one God, and that's Jesus Christ, been revealed to us, Jesus Christ. There's only one God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one God that was actually revealed to us when he came and walked upon the earth. Okay, so we have to understand and be cognizant that we belong to God, and our God is great, he is awesome, he is mighty, he is omniscient, he is omnipotent, he's everything that we need. He's the great I am. Everything that you need God to be, he's that. And so that's who God is. And you got to understand who you are in this day, in this season. You're a child of God. You've been called for a wonderful purpose, to follow God. But you're also called to suffering. We learned that today in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 to 23. Okay, and like the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 1 and 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So let's not be afraid of dying. Let's not be afraid of physically losing our lives, because some of us will and some of us won't. We don't know who will, we don't know who won't. We know that a lot of believers right now in other nations, they are losing their lives. Their heads are literally being chopped off. But you know what? God's rescuing them. The Word of God tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and 18, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So, you know, even if we are martyred for the cause of Christ, the Lord is there to rescue us. He will deliver us from our earthly situation, our earthly tabernacle, and bring us over to his eternal tabernacle. He will help us in that transition. He'll be there. He'll have his ministering angels for us. So let's not be afraid about that. Now, last Sunday, I wanted to quote, and I might have misquoted it, but I'm going to quote it again, Galatians 2, 19 and 20. For through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it's Christ. That's how come I can live. It's not about Paul. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's Christ in me. Do you understand that holy deposit that is inside of you? You have everything you need. If you have the Spirit of God in you, you have everything you need to say no to the devil and to say yes to a holy God and to follow God and to live holy. So be intentional in your walk with God. Understand who God is. Understand who you are in God and that you're made to live for Christ. Amen. You're made to worship him. The Bible says that we were made to be in him. We are his workmanship. Praise the living God. We are God's workmanship. Hallelujah. That's found in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And so the second point I want us to think about is to know and understand the times and the seasons that we're in. Paul teaches us when he was talking to his spiritual son, Timothy, that in the last days, perilous times were going to come. Perilous times. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Know also that in the last day, perilous times will come. Well, guess what? We're already in the perilous times. We don't have to talk about perilous times coming in the next 5 years. You and I, in whatever nation you live, whatever continent you live in, you're already in perilous times. We're there. We don't have to think about getting there. We are there. And three, well, let me just say one more thing before I go to point three. So when you wake up in the morning, please speak to your own spirit so that you can encourage your own spirit through the Word of God. And just understand, don't be, you know, just, you know, helter-skelter and anything can happen to you. You don't understand what's going on. No. Be aware of the time, aware of your environment, aware of the season that you're in. This is a serious, heavy season. It's a time where the nation is in rebellion, and many of the nations, the majority of the nations, are in rebellion against God. Some of them are still trying to fight, thank God, this overt push to get everybody to rebel against God. Some nations are still trying to keep, you know, in a position where they know they need God, but so many have already showed that, you know, they don't want God. They want to X God out of everything. So be aware when you get up, and be intentional in your response to people when they talk to you and they're talking against God and against his word. You know, be thoughtful, think first, pray in your spirit, and give an account when you respond to them. Don't shrink back, but speak the truth in love. And if you're persecuted, you're persecuted. It's a part of identifying with Jesus Christ. Point three, do not rely on the corrupt wisdom in this world. That's why I said at the beginning of the broadcast, it's not about what God bless our POTUS, the President of the United States. It's not about what he said. It's not about what the Supreme Court says in their decision. It's not about what, you know, the governor says. I know in my state of New York, the governor was the one who pushed ungodly things and voted them in and pushed for other people to vote for them. It's not about what Diane Sawyer or Katie Couric says. It's not about what they say. It's not about what some celebrity says. It's about what God says, about what God's word has to say. And we find this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. For our proud confidence is in this, the testimony of our conscience, that in holiness and godly sincerity, not in fleshly corrupt wisdom, but in the grace of God, we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially toward you. So don't be confused. Or like the young people like to say, don't get it twisted. Don't be, you know, thinking, oh, well, they're calling me a bigot, and they say that I'm a hate monger, so let me go ahead and start believing like them and doing what they're doing and just having their mind thought. You know, we're called believers because we believe in the Word of God. They're not believers, so they're going to believe something that's contrary to the will of God. Do not allow corrupt thinking to creep inside of your thinking. Do not allow the corrupt wisdom, because it's not godly wisdom, it's corrupted wisdom. Make sure that your wisdom is from the Lord. Amen. Your wisdom must be from God and not from the world. I can take a whole lesson and just teach on that one. Having the wisdom of God and shunning corrupt wisdom. Because corrupt wisdom is not a good thing. I can guarantee that it's not good. Not good at all. And it's not going to help you. It's going to hurt you. So, finally, my brothers and sisters, you're going to see things become darker and darker and darker as we get closer and closer to the return of Jesus Christ. But the good, beautiful thing is we get a wonderful exhortation from the Apostle Paul this time to the church at Philippi. It's taken from Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. You and I, just like we love to go in the country sometimes, and those of you that live in the country, you notice that when the sky is the very blackest, the stars shine the very brightest. And so the closer we come to Jesus Christ, and the closer that we honor him and live for him, the greater our testimony and the brighter our lights will be shining in the midst of a very crooked generation. Listen to this in Philippians 2:15. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach, in the midst or in the middle of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. He was telling that to the church at Philippi. He told them to hold fast to the word of life, because God's word brings life, and the enemy's words bring death and damnation. Remember that. Corrupt wisdom brings death and damnation. In closing, I want to ask you a very real and candid question. They just buried the daughter of Whitney Houston. Whitney Houston was known around the globe. When I was in Hong Kong, they knew all about her there. They knew about her in China. They knew about her in Europe. They knew about her all over Southeast Asia. They knew about her in South America. They knew about her in Canada. They knew about her in Australia. They knew about her in Africa. Why? The woman was given a gift, Whitney Houston, that was so special and so unusual and so beautiful. But look what happened to her. Do you really believe that that was God's will for her to wind up dead? And then look what happened. Just yesterday, they buried her 22-year-old daughter. Do you really believe that that was God's purpose? That was God's destiny for either the mother or the daughter? I would present to you the case that that was not God's will. Somehow, they got out of the will of God. And I'm encouraging you to stay in the will of God. Why? Because God has great things in store for you. And when you identify with Jesus Christ, you identify with the way of blessing and not of curse. You identify with life and not death, with light and not darkness. And so I say again, for the third time, don't get caught up in this world's corrupted wisdom. It's not what they say, it's what God says. You're a believer, it's what God says. What God says is going to get you from here to heaven. What the enemy says, just like it happened in the Garden of Eden, what he's saying is a lie and will get you thrown out of God's purposes and destiny for your life. A lot I could say, but I think by the grace of God that you understand God's instructions to you in this season. Just read again when you have the opportunity, and read it again and again and again. 1 Peter chapter 4, and read all the chapters that preceded it. Chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. Just continue to read the Word of God, the full epistle. Stay in the Word. Stay in prayer. Stay in fellowship with believers that, you know, like-minded believers, believers that believe in the things of God, believe His Word, that are not off on some, you know, ridiculous tangent or some new fad, but people that stick to God and His Word. That's who you want to surround yourself with. I want to bless you from the depths of my heart tonight. I want to pray with you in the last few seconds. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for every listener that listened to this broadcast tonight. And I pray, Lord God, that you will bless them, that you will help them to know what it is that you ask of them in this season that we're living in. We understand that we're living in perilous times. We're not living like in days gone by. But Father, we commit ourselves to you. And we thank you, Lord God. And I ask you to give them the strength to be sober in prayer. And to, even though they might suffer persecution, and we know we all will, every last one of us that identified with you, God, help us to rejoice in the midst of it, not lose heart, not lose hope, but commit ourselves to your care, because we know that we can entrust our souls to a faithful Creator, because you will do what is right. God bless you. I love you. Thank you, Evangelist Montel. I'm willing to stay on for a couple of minutes if you would like to. Maybe you want to open up the line for our minister, Darlene, if she has anything to share or a question, if anyone that's listening has a question or a comment, this is the opportunity. God bless you. I appreciate all of you, and thank you always, Evangelist, for giving me this opportunity.
You're most welcome. It's always a blessing, and I am going to open up Darlene's line because she's been listening the whole broadcast. And I want to remind all the listeners, if you ever have a question or want to have a prayer request, press 1 so we know, because it will show up a question beside your phone number that lets us know that you want to talk to the host. And I'm going to welcome my beautiful cousin from Michigan, Minister Darlene Morgan, back on.
Welcome.
You're connected, Darlene. Darlene, can you hear us?
Well, that's okay. Perhaps she's not on, but I just want to say thank you to Minister Darlene and thank you to all of the people that did listen. And I pray, my heart's prayer and all of these messages that God helps me to bring forward, my heart's desire is that it will be some little help to draw us closer to Jesus and to give us some little bit of direction as to how we are to pursue God in these end times. That's my heart's desire.
There is another caller, Sister Pearl, they just put on a question.
Sure.
So open their line.
Sure.
Hello,
hi,
caller from Erica 917. You're on Reaching Out Radio. Welcome.
Welcome.
God bless,
God bless you. Is this my sister Viviana? God
yes,
bless you. Welcome. God bless you.
Tremendous teaching, and especially in my life, I have had to deal with a lot of what you had said, ridicule from people just for standing for the Lord. But God used it in my life to continue to mature me and to even pray for those who persecuted me. And the suffering, I tell you, you get closer to your friends as they pray with you through the suffering, and then you take turns praying for each other. So I really appreciated that aspect of what you had shared. The last thing I wanted to bring up is that 9-foot statue in Detroit, Michigan. It was planned for a very long time. I don't know why they took it to Detroit, Michigan. But Sister Pearl, do you know that they have recently had 42 murders this summer of, I believe, young people and other people in Detroit? It is.
I was not aware of that. Oh, my goodness.
An epidemic. So it's like when people erect statues, they're opening up a door to evil, or they're opening up a door to good. You know, so it depends on what you have in your environment. The enemy has an open door through that statue, that 9-foot statue. So I just wanted to share that with your listeners.
I appreciate that. And I was not aware of that, my sister. I was not. But I'm not surprised. It doesn't surprise me in the least, because when we open ourselves to these and we open up our country, we open up our states, our cities, you know, this is what we can expect, unfortunately. Because, again, Jesus said it very clearly in John chapter 10, that the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but that Jesus comes to give life, and that in abundance. And so, again, even everything that I talked about tonight, you know, God's ways are always to bless.
Amen.
And the way of the enemy is to curse. So there it goes.
And whoever you serve is what you are going to bring into your life. The decisions that you make to either be serving God, even though it's not going to be a bed of roses all the time, you know that God is good and he is for you. You have Jeremiah 29:11. He has purposes for good and not for evil for you.
That's right.
You think about what's happening in Detroit, what's happening in our nation, and people have actually just brought in evil into the nation because of the idols that they are serving.
That's right. And so we as the believers, we have to understand that we, you know, because so many of us, the reason I'm saying this, I do have an opportunity to go around and to be able to see what's happening in some different churches and some different states. And unfortunately, there's a large segment of the population that call themselves Christian that seems to be clueless about the times we're living in. They don't understand that we're living in perilous times. This is not like our mom's time. This is not like even when we were coming up and being raised. This is a whole different mindset. It's a whole different season. This is not, this is now the third time I am preaching today. And so I remember speaking in at least one of these services earlier that, you know, this is unprecedented times. And we need to be aware that we have never gone this way before. We have never experienced, even 5 years ago, even last year, 2014, was different. We have accelerated as a nation and, you know, around the globe, unfortunately, is accelerated in evil. And this is not a good thing. So the believer must know, the woman of God, the man of God, must understand as children of God that we are in this time. We are here now. So let's just face it. Let's just understand reality and we move from there. Amen. Thank you so much for calling in, Sister Viviana. I appreciate your input. I'm always blessed when you're on the line with me. And we love you. We appreciate you. I'm wondering if Minister Darlene's line is open. Or if we just lost her for good on this call.
She is having connection problems connecting to us. She's at some of her children's and her phone's dropping. She was trying to call back in, but she keeps having problems connecting.
Oh, God bless her. So please relay to her, because I know you're close to her, Evangelist Montel, relay to her that I really appreciate the fact that she did stay to listen and respect her ministry in the Lord and just thank God for her. And if basically that amen. Thank you. I appreciate that. So basically, if that's it, you know, it's up to you, Evangelist. I'll do whatever you would like. We can continue to pray for people if they have any prayer requests or if anybody else with a question or a comment, and then we can just close after that.
We have live listeners, but none of them has pressed 1 to want to come into the studio or to share on the phone lines. Again, it's 347-308-8837 if you have a prayer request or a comment. And press 1 so you can talk with Sister Pearl Corbin. And she's such a beautiful woman of God. It's such an honor and privilege to be able to work with her on Reaching Out Radio. And I love my other two sisters that work with you. We have been getting such a beautiful response from your teachings that you've been doing in Kingdom. And I thank you, ladies, for bringing forth such truth. There's so many things that people are learning that they did not know
about.
I have great respect for you for sharing truth, and that's what I'm about, too. People need to hear the truth, and that's what's so important to me here on Reaching Out Radio, and I thank God for the men and women that he has brought into our radio ministry that have the same passion, the heart's desire, the faith, and I'm going to open back up the phone line. Just one moment, Sister Pearl.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Hello, dear sister.
Hello, sister. Sister Pearl, I did have a prayer request.
Okay, sure.
Because of the fact that many do not, are not listening to the Lord, are oblivious to what is going on, that the Spirit of God touch these churches and these people, that they would know and hear God's voice, and that he would prepare those that do hear and serve God to be able to suffer like the people that are suffering in, say, now China, also in Syria, in Africa. They are being told, if you do not bow to Muhammad, then and deny Jesus, that you are going to be killed, and many of them are becoming beheaded, so that we in America would mature to the point where God would prepare us to lay down our lives if necessary.
Wow. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just look to you yet another time. And I'm so glad, Father, that you always are with your hands outstretched. You invite us to come boldly to your throne in faith, believing that if we ask anything we ask anything of the Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus, that you are here, you are there to answer our prayers, O God. And we know that this prayer request that Chaplain Viviana brought up is according to your will. It's according to your purpose, O God. And so, Lord, first of all, we pray for home. We pray for our Jerusalem, Lord Jesus. We pray for the countless churches that, Lord God, have given in. I just, as you were talking, my sister, I just read something that a church in New York City, a very well-known church, has an openly homosexual couple that's engaged, and these people are in the choir, and they're going to go along with that. So, Father God, our hearts are broken because so much of the world has saturated and gotten into the church. So, Father, number one, forgive us. Forgive us. Forgive us, God, in heaven. Forgive us, Lord God. And may we repent of the wickedness and the evil that has been done and people trying to do it in the name of Jesus. Lord, forgive us. That is wickedness. We turn from that. But now, according to what my sister asked me to pray for, God, I pray for the churches that they want to follow you, but they're not really standing up. God, help them. Help them to do what they must do. Help us all to do what we must do in this season. Because you said so clearly, if we deny you now, you will deny us when it comes time to introduce us to the Heavenly Father. That's clear. And so, Lord, we want to be bold for you. We want to be strong for you. We want to be living to honor you, pleasing to you, men of integrity, women of integrity, women that you will not be ashamed of, men that you will not be ashamed of. Father, help us. Help the pastors across this nation to open up their mouths. Thank you for Franklin Graham. Thank you for a few others that are willing to stand and speak the truth. But God, we need more people that have pulpits, that you've allowed to have platforms to speak the truth in love. We need them for such a time as this. And Father, we do remember our brothers and our sisters, because God, they are our brothers. They are our sisters in Christ. They are having to be faced with either betraying you and keeping their heads, or acknowledging that Jesus is the Christ, and their Christ, and their Lord, and their Master, and then having their heads roll. Father, put your loving arms around them. God, strengthen them. God, embrace them. God, hold them. God, keep them. And for many, Lord, that are in prisons, like Pastor Saeed in Iran, and so many others in North Korea, others in Iran, others in Syria, others in Iraq, others in Bangladesh, others in certain places in Northern Africa. And around this globe, God, there's people that are suffering. There are people, Christians, are in jail in China. God, mercy. Be with our brothers. Be with our sisters. Encourage and strengthen their hearts. Tell them to take courage, oh God. Help them not to deny you when they're being tempted. God, help them to stand firm and entrusting their lives to you, Lord Jesus. And Father, again, I pray for our own nation. Lord Jesus, as we go deeper and deeper into a place of rebellion as a nation against God. We know that the Church of the Living God in this country will be severely tested, will be suffering persecution. God, I pray on this broadcast, help us to stand. You've already given us everything that we need to stand and not to fall. You've already given us that. That's clear in your word. By having your Holy Spirit deposited in us, we have everything that we need to say no to the devil and to say yes to you. But now help us, God, to use and take advantage of the great Holy Spirit deposit that you've placed inside of each and every one that has been washed in the blood of Jesus. God, help us in this day. Help us to shine as lights for you, right? And God, whatever I fail to pray about, you know what we stand in need of. You know our needs. You know the situation. You know what we're going through. And Father, I do pray for Minister Darlene, as I was asked to pray earlier. Thank you for bringing it back to my memory. Lord, whatever the doctor told her, we believe the report of the Lord. We believe God's report for Minister Darlene in the name of Jesus. We cancel the enemy's assignment. We cancel his assignment. And we call upon the blood of Jesus to cover her. We call for the blood of Jesus to touch her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. Everything in her body that is not right, we ask you, God, to remove it from her. Remove sickness and disease and affliction from the root. In the powerful name of Jesus, by the blood of the Lamb. And let her, oh God, be healed. Be healed so that she might continue, God, being everything that you've ordained and called her to be on this side of glory. Encourage her heart. And for those doctors that are ministering to her, we pray that you'd help them to do it in a spirit of excellence. That nobody will be able to touch her or make any decision about her care unless they're being anointed of you to do so, God. So we just commit her into your safe hands. I pray, like the Apostle Paul, I know who I believe in, and I'm persuaded that you're able to keep that which I'm committing unto you against that day. I commit Minister Darlene into your safe care and into your safe hands, and I commit every one of us as blood-washed children of God. We commit ourselves into your safe care and keeping until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 And amen. God bless you. So, Evangelist Montel, this is it for tonight.
Sister Darlene.
Oh, she's on?
Darlene, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I had to get off the phone. I had people beeping me. We're under tornado warnings and thunderstorms real bad. And it's really good. My daughter in South Bend was texting me, and my one in Three Rivers was texting me, and we got all in red. We've got hailstorms on the way and tornadoes and severe thunderstorms.
My sister. Now, are you calling me from that same state where they put up that evil demonic thing? Are you calling me from that state?
I was going to tell you. Michigan and Indiana is under severe demonic attack.
Not only did they put that
one up a couple weeks ago in Detroit in November, they put one up at our state capitol in Lansing. The same statue of Satan in the big chair with the two children, one on each side of them.
Yeah, that's what I had mentioned in the message.
Detroit, honey, we got one in Lansing and one in Detroit. We've got.
I did not know
towns.
What. What?
Yes. Yes.
So there's more than one of them around?
There's one in Lansing, Michigan at our capital, and there's one in Detroit, Michigan.
Oh, my Lord. Okay, well, you know what? I say this to you and to everybody that's listening and that's going to listen. Get ready. Get ready, because what they're going to want to do is to put one in every state across this nation. And they're going to eventually want to put one.
I think they just put one in Pennsylvania. Yes.
My Lord, have mercy. My Lord have mercy.
This month put in Pennsylvania.
Father,
and they're putting
mercy.
Books in, and they're putting coloring books in the schools in Florida that
yes,
are satanic,
that I'm aware
satanic coloring
my
books,
God.
Which connect the dot with the demonic star and Satan's head.
My Father. And I want to pray for the area where you're in and that's been faced with the hailstorm. And what else, Sister Darlene? Hailstorm and...
Tornado warnings and thunderstorm, severe thunderstorm warnings.
Okay, so that's serious. Tornado warnings and thunderstorm. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just touch and agree over these airwaves with our Sister Darlene, Lord God, Evangelist Montel, my sister Viviana, myself, and all the other people that we know have called in and they're listening. Lord, we all put our faith together right now in the name of Jesus, and we ask you, Lord God, to please have mercy, because you've got a lot of your people still in that area. Our sister is in that area, Lord God, and so we come against whatever the enemy means for evil. We come against it. Turn back the tornadoes. Turn back the thunderstorms, oh God. I pray that none of your people's lives will be lost. In the name of Jesus, divinely cover them. I pray that their property will be covered and protected. I pray that their cars, their homes, everything, everything, Lord God, their children, their grandchildren, everybody that belongs to them, let them be covered divinely by the blood of Jesus, that no harm will come to them, Lord God. And I just pray that these areas, especially Detroit now, that's having these thunderstorm warnings and having these tornado warnings, that this will be a sign to them, Lord God. Let them take off the scales over their eyes. That they will begin to understand, you know what? We need to connect the dots here. And this is a direct result of the evil that we allowed to come and be put in our state. I pray, God, begin to open up the eyes of the people, whether they're Christian or not Christian, but everybody living in Michigan. Let the entire state begin to understand, wow, we don't want this here anymore. We want it out. And let it be the same for Lansing, and let it be the same if it's in Pennsylvania, let it be the same there. We cannot let them destroy it in the name of Jesus. Father God, open up the eyes, especially of your people in this time and in this hour. Protect your people in Jesus' name. Amen and amen,
amen
and amen.
And amen. And thank you for that beautiful prayer. It's getting really ugly out here. I'm sorry I had to get off the show for a minute because I really enjoy your teaching. And I really enjoy your spirit, but they kept beeping me in emergency.
That's okay.
Bad weather, so I had to click over. So I apologize.
That's
to you for that.
Totally. There's no apology necessary because we got to do what we have to do. I just appreciate whatever time that you can spend with us. It doesn't matter. I understand. Sometimes we have to attend to certain things that take priority. So that's fine. I'm just happy to have this opportunity. I remember that, Sister Darlene, I believe that you were on the first program that I ever did with Evangelist Montel. Am I correct?
You're the what, hon?
I believe that you were with me the very first program that I had with Evangelist Montel.
I'm not sure. She's like on her 60th show now, I think.
I think, but I remember you, and I remember it was you and another brother in Christ. You were on.
Oh,
I definitely remember that.
Yep.
I remember that. Yeah, I remember that. I spoke about discerning the times, and you were on the show, and we talked about it after. So praise God. Thank you so much. And listen,
for you.
Amen. It's my privilege. I feel so blessed that I would have this opportunity. I just want you to know that now that myself, Viviana, and others know, we will be praying for your area. And we'll pray God's protection upon you and your loved ones. Definitely. And we'll remember you in prayer physically for your own concern. Amen. We got to pray for one another, my sister. We're in the last days.
And I have my children calling me again with warning. So, Montel, I'll call you in a little bit. And it was nice talking to you, Sister Pearl.
Likewise. God bless you.
I'll call you back, sweetie.
Sister Pearl?
Yes, Sister. Yes.
I had one other thing concerning
what
you just prayed about.
Sure.
We come into agreement that we, in the Spirit, we are greater. We know that. who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Let us come into agreement with the listeners that are still on and ourselves that we are going to say that Jesus is enthroned in our nation. And right
I'm going to invite you to lead us in that prayer, Viviana.
Okay. Heavenly Father, you have made a covenant with our forefathers, pilgrims, those who came here seeking religious freedom. And Father God, right now we are being invaded. We are being invaded because people have forgotten the foundation. We are asking you, Lord God, to continue to work with your remnant. And we ask you for a tremendous revival, Lord God, in our nation. Right now, by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shut the door to any more of these satanic statues. And if they do have them in their area, we agree, Lord God, that you are enthroned and Satan will not be enthroned to usurp your authority in America. In the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask you that people will connect the dots, like Sister Pearl said, and say, we do not want this anymore near us. We want to dismantle it. We want to send it to the othermost parts of the earth. And we close that satanic door in Lansing, Michigan. And we close the satanic door in the spirit, in heaven. And we're asking it to come down to earth in Detroit so that it is shut in the name of Jesus and that this abomination will be unearthed and taken out of this area. And we thank you, Lord God, and we shut the door in Pennsylvania before they even put it there. So we give you praise.
Yes, I agree.
God, when we say, Lord God, we ask you to be our defense, then we can trust in you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
And thank you, Viviana. Thank you, my sister.
Amen.
Praise God. Evangelist Montel, I turn it over to you.
God bless you both for your beautiful prayers. And thank you so much for praying for my cousin in Michigan. I have a lot of family over in Michigan. And again, I want to thank both of you so much for the amazing job you are doing and sharing on our radio ministry. People love your teachings. You are really reaching people. And I just thank God for what he's doing. You are bringing truth into life of topics that people had no idea about. So I thank both of you. I love both of my sisters in Christ.
Thank you.
Amen.
I continue to love you in the mighty way that he is. And I thank him so much, and daily I pray for all of you as well, and keep praying for the radio ministry here because it's growing, it's going forth, and it's getting shared. We have I was sharing with Sister Pearl, we have regular listeners in China now that are faithfully listening, and they're sending messages. So praise God, the word's going forth, you know, in China through this, and it's going all over the globe, so I thank God for that, and I love both of you very much in Christ, and it is an honor and privilege to have you be part of what God has called me to. And I thank God, and I want to glorify him for all he's doing, for the lives that are being reached, and for people to really listen to what each and every minister is teaching, because we are in perilous times. My prayer and my hope is that people would give more of their time to God instead of things of the world. If people would give God just even 10% of the time they put into video games and televisions and things of this world and got into the Word of God and gave themselves to him, what a change that could bring in our world and in life. So that's something I've been praying for, that people would just let go of self, things of the world, and they would dedicate their lives and their time to our Father.
Praise God. Evangelist Montel, I just want to say to thank you, Viviana, for sharing and coming on tonight. I want to say to the listening audience on the Sunday night program, I want to also invite you to the other program that God has blessed us with, which is Kingdom Perspectives in Our Changing World, because we're going to do, by the grace of God, part three on the LGBTQ agenda and how it affects the church. The next time, I'm going to have on most likely some different guests, people that I think can really speak into that issue. And we're really looking forward to have a good time as well, just like the other times. And so I would invite and encourage all of you to, if it's possible, to try to listen in. That would be a Friday night, August the 14th, Lord willing. We start at 7 Eastern Standard Time and 6 Central Time, and the other times you would just figure them out. But we're really excited about that particular one because it's going to talk specifically on how it addresses the churches. I'm hoping to have a Christian pastor who's already gone through a lot of stuff, and I'm hoping that he can join us. I can't say that for sure, but he's already received a lot of persecution where he is in Texas, and also having an attorney on that is a Christian and is very familiar with what's going on and what we can anticipate and how we can prepare for what's coming. We can prepare as churches. So it'll be a very interesting program. I really believe that. So that's August the 14th, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 6 p.m. Central Standard. So just wanted to put in that plug for that show. Thank you, Evangelist.
You're very welcome, and thank you again for your time. And if everyone wants to keep track of the shows that are coming up, and you don't want to miss any of Sister Corbin's or any of the other ministers on here, please go to the homepage of Reaching Out Radio on Blog Talk Radio and click the follow button. It will email you, remind you of upcoming broadcasts, especially if you're wanting to get in on these Kingdom Perspectives, because I'm telling you, there is truth being shared here, and myself, I have been learning things that I did not know, and it's things we need to be praying about, we need to be raising our voices about, and powerful, powerful, powerful teaching, Sister Pearl. And again, I thank you so much.
Praise
for
God.
Being such
a
God be with you and, you know, leading you in these teachings, because, I mean, there's some really deep things in there, and my husband and I have even been talking about it as I share with him, and the things I'm learning, you know, that sometimes my jaw literally drops. And we're talking about, as you shared, children. You know, I have a lot of young nieces that are beautiful young girls. And I think of my family, and it's going all, it's not just in one place, going all over into the world. And we really need to be informed and learning. So I encourage you to tune in and listen to Kingdom Perspectives, because you're going to learn some truth and things we truly do need to be praying about. Join us here 7 days a week. We've got the Word of God going forth. Also, I encourage you, back, listen on demand to these teachings on Kingdom Perspectives, because there is such wisdom. And I love, too, the other night, how you shared the news links. That brought things into another perspective. I think that was so awesome how that fit in with the program and the way you all work together. It is so beautiful. So God bless you for the amazing work that you're doing for the kingdom.
It's our privilege. It's our honor. We thank God for the opportunity. Praise God. So we just follow your lead. If I think that's pretty much wrapping up for tonight. I just want to bless all of our listening audience. Thank you so much. I look forward to be with you next Sunday night, the Lord spare my life. It'll be, I don't know what message the Lord will give me, but he will definitely give me one for our listening audience. So God bless you. We love and appreciate you, and we pray heaven's blessings upon your life as you seek to honor and live for him. Amen.
Amen.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. God bless you both.
Thank you, and you too.